May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 675. Friends, this is a hymn for real sinners, lost, blind, lame, bankrupt. Come boldly to a throne of grace, ye wretched sinners, come, and lay your load at Jesus' feet, and plead what he has done. Hymn 675.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, the prophet Isaiah, and chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be for ever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be for ever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared, the Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets. As a wild bull in a net, they are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Therefore, hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground, and as the street, to them that went over. May the Lord bless to us reading of his holy word, and help us in prayer. O Lord our God, be pleased to come unto us in this assembly this evening, and take in hand preacher and people, and do bring thy word to us here, that thou hast determined from the foundation of the world to be brought here into Swayze Chapel this evening. O Lord, we do seek of Thee the power of God that bringeth salvation. Lord, we would not rest short of Thy salvation, of Thy righteousness, of Thy power. O Lord, do grant that those commanded deliverances unto Jacob, that one of them, that more of them might be tonight. O Lord, we know that Thy word runneth surely and truly, and yet, Lord, we walk it out, a step at a time, a word at a time, and Lord, we feel at times so uncertain and so trembling and so fearing. Lord, we see Thy blessing upon each gathered here, that Thou hast ordered their footsteps right and bring them into the bond of Thine everlasting covenant, that feelingly they might know that Thou art their God, and that they are Thy people, and that Thou hast delivered them from the lowest pit, and that Thou hast placed them amongst Thy children. O Lord, we are dependent upon Thy Holy Spirit's work, and upon Thy sovereign power. And Lord, we would fall into Thy kind hands. O Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee that it is settled forever in heaven. We thank Thee that Thy word runneth swiftly, and that Thou, when Thou dost send forth commandment, Thou dost speak and it is done. And O Lord, we would rejoice in the work of Thine own hands, and we do look that we might see Thy work, that we might be enabled to say, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes. O Lord, deliver us from all emptiness, vanity, everything that is of our flesh and of our mind, and do grant us those solid comforts and blessings from above, that help laid upon one that is mighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we would delight and rejoice in Thy dear name. Lord, visit Thy people in need. Remember those that wait upon Thee. Show them Thy salvation and put them in it. Lord, bless the children here. We thank Thee for them. May they seek Thee early and find Thee. Bless them with Thy grace, and do give them a love to Thee, a love to Thy people, a love to Thy house. Lord, may they truly find Thee while Thou art to be found, and bless Thee all their days. O Lord, do provide for them and our older friends. Provide for them in the pathway of life in every way. And O Lord, that Thou hast granted that help to those that bear a path of affliction and trial and sorrow. Lord, do Thou grant those helps in the way, and that they might feel hitherto hath the Lord helped us. O Lord, do be with the afflicted and aged, and remember those who find the grasshopper a burden. We pray for the carers, those that care for others, to grant them long-suffering, patience, endurance. Grant them, Lord, thy blessing in their own soul. May they feel as well that he careth for you. May those things we are called to walk in illustrate thyself. And Lord, may we know more and more of thy long-suffering, compassion, tenderness. Lord, thou art a good and gracious God. And Lord, well did David know, 'twas good to fall into the hands, thy hands, that he already knew. Lord, we do seek that each that know thee here might more and more in their trials and tribulations be given that grace and help to fall into thy hand, to know no will but thine. And Lord, those that are not yet proved that and feel very much to follow after their own path and their own will with much agitation and with much unsettledness, with much anxiousness and fear, Lord, do grant that they might come to know thee as worthy of their trust and best esteem. O Lord, we do confess our deep, black dyed sins before thee. Lord, we would tremble if thou shouldst show us them all, if thou shouldst show even a small part, as truly in the light of thy countenance. Lord, what must they be? Lord, we see a little, and we would beg of thee that thou wouldst cleanse us from all unrighteousness, deliver us from all evil, take away all things that offend and grieve, and grant us the tender fear of God. We see, Lord, that we might know thy salvation in the midst of all of our fears and all the places we come, to know that thou changest not, thou art the same. Lord, thy compassions fail not. Lord, bless the seekers here. Help those in soul trouble. Come where thy people are tonight. Guide our footsteps in thy word, and cause us to be even as the clay in the hand of the heavenly potter. Oh, cause us to speak thy word and not sift out what shall be declared and what not. Oh, let not our poor sin-stained hand touch thy pure and holy word. Make us thy messenger in thy message, that it might be received as such, with the King's seal unbroken, Lord, that it might be received as from heaven. We do thank thee for every temporal blessing and favour, thy goodness and mercy in many, many ways. Again, we thank thee for the open profession made on Friday, and Lord, we see thy blessing on the young, that they might not only begin but endure, and that the desire of one to follow thee might be as that which gives a godly jealousy in a right way to make others desire those best gifts, to covet earnestly the best gifts and to seek that blessing themselves. O Lord, we would then give thee thanks for thy work, for thy salvation and blessings, and we look to thee that this thy day, the day that thou didst rise, might not pass. Except thou leave a blessing behind, We ask in the Saviour's name and through his precious sin-atoning blood. Amen.
Hymn 761. Show pity, Lord. O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in thee. Hymn 761.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the chapter that we read, Isaiah chapter 51, and reading for our text, verse 14. Verse 14, the captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. Our text comes to where the captive exile is. It is a verse that stands in the middle of many precious promises, in the middle of many verses that point to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here is a picture of this captive exile, and he hastened that he may be loose. He's in the midst of blessing, in the midst of hope, and yet he is still a captive and still not loosed. I want to look first at the three times in this chapter where the Lord through the prophet says, "Hearken to me." And one reason is this. We read concerning the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, and they had had Moses come to them and tell them that God had appeared to him and that they were going to be delivered out of captivity, out of Egypt. And they rejoiced. They believed God and they praised God. But there's many things yet to be done before they were actually delivered. And they got to such a time in their distress that they wouldn't even hearken unto Moses. Because of the hard labor and because of the distress, when Moses tried to encourage them and to tell them the Lord's hand was in it, that he was hardening Pharaoh and that the time would come they would be let go, the people would not listen. There's a needs be for the word again and again, hearken, hearken. Ye that are captives, ye that are so distressed in mind, ye that, as it were, shut out, there can be no blessing, no help for me. The Lord says, hearken, wait, hearken to me. Listen, just for a moment, and may it be that there is one sinner here, that for a moment all of your sorrow and burden and complaints and all the tumult in your mind, and listen to the word of God. He begins, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness." Follow after righteousness. That is what is sought. That is what is desired. What different from the beginning of this book, where it sets forth of all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, no soundness in our flesh because of our sin. And yet it's an amazing thing. Here is a people that follows after righteousness, and it is told specifically here, ye that seek the Lord. This is not those like Paul speaks of that are going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of the Lord. I believe that they are looking in the right place. But hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, And just a moment, just considering here, Isaiah prophesied in the days of seven of the kings, and Hezekiah being the last, and it was to Judah. Already there'd been the separation, of course, of the tribes. Already, though, there was to be the other tribes carried away by Assyria and Judah left alone. And here the prophet takes them in the path that Judah is to walk, and he reminds them how their nation actually began. They may be very low now. They may be beset with enemies now. But remember Abraham. I called him alone, brought him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, gave him the promises. He says, look unto Abraham your father, unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. The Lord through the prophet seeks to take away the objections of his people, to take away the impossibilities that are thrown in the way. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Can anyone get so low, so reduced, so much seeming to be forsaken? And he points right back to the beginning of their nation. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he shall comfort all her waste places. Really is a better principle here as well. We read that that which was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Here is Israel, and the Lord is going right back to Abraham. What was done to him is for your comfort now. What is set before us here is for your comfort now. Those that come into the passage here and are found in the descriptions that are here, it is applied in a spiritual way, applied to the church of God. Those that, as here, follow after righteousness and seek the Lord. What a very different thing. And those who are seeking the things of this world, whose languages depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. To those that think that they have got a righteousness, do you think that the Pharisee standing in the temple was following after righteousness? He got it to his own feelings. He didn't need any other. But here's a people that follow after it, that seek it, and seek it from the Lord. And so they are to hearken, and that what they are to listen, having been encouraged and pointed to Abraham in this way, they are to be told this: the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. He finds them where they are, gives them this precious promise. Do you need comfort? Is your place, your heart, a waste place? Is it like a wilderness? Is it like a desert? The words that are spoken here will be precious to those like that. And this is what is to be hearkened. They shall take comfort? No. The Lord shall comfort Zion. And what a difference that is. So that is the first, hearken to me. But then in verse 4 we have another one: hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. Now again, in the first place, He is speaking unto Judah and unto his people. The blessings that the Lord has for his church are not only at the beginning, they are all away along the way. And there may be those of you here, and you cannot deny that you are his people. The Lord has blessed you, the Lord has favoured you, but you're in that position, that low position, position described by our text, captive again, feelingly. And so the word then is, hearken unto me, my people. Sometimes it is this, the devil will say, there, you've already made a profession, you've already walked in the way, and the minister is talking to coming sinners, he's talking to those who are seeking these blessings for the first time. He's not coming where you are, where you've got to, your sins have got you to, and in that low place, and in the distress of your heart. But did not the Lord take Israel as a national people unto himself, work wonders in their beginnings, in their formation, but he didn't forsake them? All the way along the way, in all the places they got to because of their sins, and all of the captivities that they were brought into, the Lord did not forsake them. He still had his word for them. He still has his word for you. Blessed thing that the Lord should still call his people his people, isn't it? Sometimes in our own feelings, you might feel so unworthy of being called his people, to be numbered amongst the children of God, the people of God. And so he says, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light to the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The Lord is not far off from his people. We might feel he is at times. We might be like Job, oh, that I knew where I might find him. We might be like Mary at the tomb, weeping and crying. If thou knowest where he is, show me where. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? How close the Lord was to her. The two on the way to Emmaus, how close the Lord was to her. The eunuch, how close the Lord was to blessing his soul, and yet he was reading in this prophecy and he couldn't understand it. And the Lord was hidden from him in it. How near, how close. Joseph's brethren, Joseph was standing there, he's talking through an interpreter. How close. And yet they knew him not. And the righteousness of the Lord is near. My salvation is gone forth. And he gives an illustration. As in the first, he pointed to Abraham, to Sarah. So in this, the illustration that is used is to look at the heavens, the literal heavens and the earth. He said, these shall all perish. These shall all pass away. These shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. The Lord will not forsake his people. It is not that which shall be done away with. Salvation forever. One of our hymns, once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. And it stands on the scriptures of truth. The Lord will not forsake his people. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He will not forsake the work of his own hands. And the work of his own hands begun in eternity past. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. If you were to give something to someone, what would they do? They'd hold out their hands to take it. The work of the Lord's hand. To receive a people lost and ruined in the fall. To receive them knowing that it was to suffer in their place. To endure the wrath of God against their sin, and to work out a righteousness to give to them, and to part his throne, his glory with them, so that they should have, as to the half of the kingdom, to be brethren, to partake of that glory with him. What a blessed salvation, and what a work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And shall he ever then cast them away? In John 10, he speaks of himself as the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. No man shall pluck them out of mine hands. My Father is greater than I. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Mystery of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what is very clear, the people of God once put in his hands should never ever drop out of them. Under thy forming hands, O God, give me the frame that thou likes best. We have a third hearken in verse 7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. The people that do know the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who do know of his salvation. And again, remember, here is Judah. The enemy has already come in against the other tribes. Sennacherib, Rabshakeh, the defying against Judah and defying against the Lord. Many adversaries for the people of God, as if they would destroy them out of the heritage of the Lord, as if they would take away all their hope and drag their God to be on the level with every other God. But he says to these people who know of that righteousness, that robe, that covering, that acceptance in the Lord, and where his law is, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. You might look the things that are in the nation at this time, and the contempt and the ridicule and the despising of the people of God. We look upon our children, the generations to come, and we may fear for them. But what a word spoken for them from generation to generation. And what's to be for them? That righteousness from forever. The salvation shall be for our children and children's children. As long as the world remains, the Lord is the same. We are not to fear man. What is man? Wherewith shall he be accounted for? We must stand before God, and the salvation of the Lord is the Lord's salvation, and the earth is the Lord's, and his people are his. What encouragements and what strength is put forth here. Well, may the Lord exhort his people to hearken and to hear. But then we find a people here surrounded with blessings, and the Lord points out to them that though he is one that comforts them, yet they are afraid of man. And in verse 13, they do forget their Maker, they forget their Creator, and they fear. Fear of man bringeth a snare. It does. It holds back. There's one here, the fear of man is your burden tonight. May we be delivered from the fear of man. Remember the Lord thy Maker that has stretched forth the heavens. Remember who it is that comforts his people. And you know, we go from verse 13. If you go then to verse 15. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose ways roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. He was the one that brought them through the Red Sea. And in between is our text. In between is the captive exile. He is the one that longs or hastens to be loosed. He does not want to die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God. The Lord would say to this one, in the condition that he is in and what he is feeling to be in, but I am the Lord thy God. How canst thou lack anything? How canst thou want anything? How canst thou, by thine hastening and by thy efforts and thy desire, deliver thyself when thou art surrounded by salvation? This is where the soul is pointed to. If we think now of the description that is here, and we think and go back to the Garden of Eden, and where our first parents had that communion and fellowship with the Lord. They were blessed with the Lord walking in the cool of the garden and a day and talking with them. And yet, as they partook of the forbidden fruit, as they believed Satan, as they walked in that way of rebellion and disobedience, and they lost their righteousness and brought in sin, and sin brought death into the world, then they were exiled from that garden. They were driven from the garden, driven from that place where the Lord had placed them. Sin separates, sin banishes. An exile is not one that decides whether he is going to go out. He is thrust out. And what is more, we are told there that they were forbidden to return because the flaming sword was to protect the way to the tree of life. And the description then is not just as an exile, but also a captive. Because we were formed and we were made under the law. And we are then captive under that law. What is the way of deliverance out of the law? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It's like Paul uses the illustration, and really God forbid that a marriage should be so bad that it is thought that it is a captivity. But if there is a husband and wife, then the promise is unto death us do part. And that while they're both live, then the law binds them together. But the apostle says that when then one is dead, then they are no longer in bondage and they are free from that contract, if you like, free from the law to her husband. And so in that way it illustrates the same captivity, in that we needed death to release from that union that is together, and the union between a sinner and the law, it requires death to break that union. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet it is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, to set those captives free, to deliver them from the law, and to deliver them from that condemnation. And so this description, the captive exile, it describes man as driven out from the garden. It describes every one of us here by nature, whether we feel it or not. But what is in our text, very evident, that this one feels it. The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed. He feels that captivity. It's a very distinct difference. We are all are sinners in God's sight, but all are not so in our own. We are all captive under the demands of the law and the sentence of the law, and yet we do not all feel it. We do not all realize what that captivity will end up at. If we had some animals that were reared up in a farm and they were then penned up in a pen, and it was to be told after some certain days they were going to be brought to the slaughterhouse, no doubt being the beast they would be in their pen, they might feel their captivity, but they might not really realize what remaining in that position was going to end up being, that it was to be unto death. The children of Israel, they had a constant illustration of this when at the Passover, 10 days before it, they had to go to their flocks, select out the spotless one, the best lamb, and bring it nigh unto them, and hold it and keep it for 10 days before it was slain. Held captive, not let go with the rest of the flock, held captive, waiting for it to be slain. And really it is a position of us each is under the law, held captive, and the one here clearly realizes if remaining in that captivity it is to die in that pit. But the Lord Jesus Christ must come into that same place. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God that is reserved to this end and to this position, the Lamb of God set apart for that specific purpose to die in the place of his people. But this is the feeling experience of the people of God. The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed. There are some very distinct descriptions here of a soul in need of a deliverance, in need of the Saviour, in need of setting free. He feels the captivity. He feels that lack of freedom. He feels that inability to change his own state and own condition. Is that how you feel? He cannot cease from being a sinner. The apostle says that the law was given that sin might abound. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. There is no application of the transgression of that law. When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Our lawmakers in this land are constantly making laws. Something that might be like lawful to do today, tomorrow might be unlawful to do just because a law has been made. It's set before us in the Word of God, the Lord's law was from the beginning, that even that those who had not sinned after the same similitude as Adam's transgression. Yet there is, when there is no law, there is no applying of that law. So the commandment then was given at Mount Sinai. And so it is in the experience, as the Apostle Paul found it, the experience of the people of God is that they come under the law. The Apostle said the law is a schoolmaster unto Christ. By the law is the knowledge of sin. And that is its only purpose. It's not to provide a righteousness. It is not to deliver. But it is to make known sin. And one that then that feels that law will know that there is no escaping and no getting out of that except through death, except through the shedding of blood. The captive. But then is that exile, the banishment from God, the separation from God, felt, feelingly felt, exiled, unable to return. The captive exile and the hasteneth. Is there that urgency, perhaps now that was not before? The realization, if I die in the position that I am, if I remain as I am now, then I am not fit to die. I cannot stand before God. I must indeed perish and die in this state and in this condition. The Lord's salvation is to deliver his people out of this captivity. Born, made of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, to provide that blood, to provide that satisfaction. How clearly the apostle says, ye are not under the law, ye are under grace. A believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is under grace. Not that we are lawless, and not that it doesn't mean that the Ten Commandments are not to be observed. A believer in the Lord receives the whole of the Word of God from Genesis unto Revelation as the revealed will of God and seeks to walk in all of his commands and all of his ways. But his whole trust of salvation is that the Lord Jesus Christ hath fulfilled the law, made it honourable, satisfied the law in his or her place, and that satisfaction is assured in the empty tomb. The Lord hath risen from the dead. The captive, our Lord walking out this place, we said about the Lamb, set apart, separated, and then slain, the same as a captive, and to realize, to remain in that position would be slain. But our Lord also, in the heart of the earth, if he never rose from that death, eternal death. The apostle in 1 Corinthians so emphasizes how vital the resurrection from the dead, a heresy brought into the church that denies the resurrection of the dead, strikes at everything in the gospel. If Christ is not risen, then the dead rise not. Our preaching is vain, our faith is vain, those that have died already, they have perished. Everything hangs upon that breaking the bands of death, in that breaking the prison and loosing him. The stone rolled away, he is not here, he is risen. People of God, rise with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what is set forth in the baptismal service. Buried with him in baptism, risen again in newness of life. It is the example of that which is set forth here. You and I as sinners, we are captive, we are exiles. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes willingly. No man taketh his life. Puts himself in the same position, under the same obligation, under the same demands of the law, and stands for his people, and with his people's sins laid upon him, he hath laid upon him, we come upon it another couple of chapters, the iniquity of us all. And it is in that way that they are to be loosed and set free. But this is the very feeling of this soul, hasteneth that he may be loosed. You know, whichever way we may try and get loosed, you will prove this, you will not loose yourself. You cannot set yourself free. You cannot bring deliverance to your own soul. You cannot release yourself from the demands of the law. You cannot appropriate the blessings of God either unto you. And yet what is set forth here is the finished salvation and work of the Lord that not only provides a ransom, not only provides a righteousness, but also provides the application of that. And, you know, a soul that is truly given faith and trust in the Lord, to really look to the Lord for his work. There's not the rushing to and fro, or not the hastening or seeking to be loosed from works of their own, because there's a realizing of the work of the Lord and what the Lord is to be for their soul. I'm not saying here carelessness or indifference. It's very important that the description that is described here, it shows the reality of the danger that's felt, the real need of that soul, but the way of escape is not by the efforts of the captive one. It's the one that is to come to set them free. That's where their hope should be. If you go to a zoo, perhaps, and you've got an animal recently captive, and it's pacing up and down the wire and racing to and fro, all wasted energy is not going to get them free at all. But then if along comes the keeper, and that's got a van ready to take them to freedom, then it's all done for them. It's just open the door and let them go. I think Mr. Ansbottom speaks of it in one of his books, of a man who saw birds that were all in a cage and they were for sale. And he asked the man how much they were, and he was told, and he paid the full price for them. And then he went to the cage of the birds, and he opened the door and he let them all go. And he said, well, they're mine now, I've paid for them, and I can do with them what I will. And he said, I was a captive once. And he let them all go. You know, the children of Israel, the Lord never let them forget that they were bondmen in Egypt, that they were captives there. They always had to be kind to those that were in captive and bondage. And the Lord feels for his captives. They are his captives. They are where they are, and they feel what they are by his work. And yet what surrounds this, and this is what I so want to convey to any that feels in this position this evening. This position, this text, is surrounded by the Lord's promises and the Lord's work. And the eye is to be upon the Lord alone. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose ways roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. The prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what is his word. We think of when the Lord began his public ministry, and they said of those gracious words that proceedeth out of his mouth. And these words are for the people of God. Everyone shall receive of my words. The Lord shall speak unto his people. Why, if he could stand at the grave of Lazarus, and there was Lazarus dead, and that he should then call him forth out of the grave. And as Lazarus come forth, he came forth bound hand and foot with the grave clothes. And what was the Lord's word? Loose him and let him go. Not Lazarus, loose thyself. Loose him and let him go. It is the Lord that lets go his captives. The Lord that lets go his people. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The precious application of Christ's blood, the blessing of the Lord that sets free. Remember the most precious time I felt that word. The Lord spoke to me. And it was after I had gone some 3 days, and my mind seemed filled with all manner of uncleanness and vileness, and I couldn't get rid of it. I groaned under it. I groaned under those real sins and the evils of my heart. And I can remember over there in Australia, very spot in the hallway, where I suddenly realized that all of these thoughts, all had gone, and there was such a peace and quietness upon my spirit. And I said, Lord, what is this? What has happened? And immediately there dropped in, as if it was spoken, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The Lord gave that freedom and that peace and that quietness, and then told me why. And the blessings of the Lord, I proved that sometimes is he'll give the word, and that being blessed will be the means of our being released from bondage, captivity and sorrow. But other times he gives that blessing and then tells how it comes about. Why, the man that had been born blind, the Lord opened his eyes. And he spoke to the Pharisees. He said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He'd received that benefit and that blessing from the Lord, but he did not know the Lord. The Lord had conveyed himself away. When the Lord then next met with him, he said, dost thou believe upon the Son of God? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? The Lord then revealed himself to him, and how then he believed. The Lord uses different ways with his people. The end result is they receive the benefit of his power and blessing, and they know who it is that has set them free. All will point to that same redeeming blood of Christ. All will point to him who set their soul at liberty. All who point to him who did what they could not do. All those who have truly felt and known that salvation is of the Lord. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. To Christ for help I fly, the friend of sinners lost, a refuge sure and nigh, and there is all my trust. The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loose, that he may should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. Thinking of the ones that are feeling thee again in this position, that his bread should fail. Shall I never have some of the words of the Lord? Shall I never receive from the Lord again? Shall I die in this pit? Shall I never be sustained from the Lord again? Where that fullness is placed, it hath pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. There is no lack. That bread shall never fail. The Lord Jesus Christ lives forever. And that is what is set forth here. And it is the Lord himself that is the mediator of the new covenant, the executor of his will. And he it is that is to say unto Zion, thou art my people. Sinner, surrounded with the blessings of the Lord, may the Lord come and take them and make them yours. Some of you may have known your children, and you've had times, maybe at Christmas time, and you've seen all of these presents, you've seen all of these beautiful boxes. You'd love to take one. But then your parent comes and picks them up. This is yours. What a difference that makes. When the Lord comes and gives to his dear people those blessings from his hand. It is from his hand. Not stolen, not taken, but given. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. But another thing I'll mention. When the Lord fed the multitudes and with the loaves and the fishes, it was his hands that broke that bread, that broke the fishes. It was the miracle. It was from the Lord, not from the disciples. The Lord made it very clear. He tested them. And they said, when shall we feed this great multitude? The disciples knew it was beyond them. But when the Lord broke it, he gave to his disciples, and they gave to the followers. And it is as well that like the Lord did with the eunuch, he used Philip to give him that portion and to give him that blessing. And may we then also learn to receive the Lord's word, not just look as from a word from heaven. I spoke regarding what I have felt myself, and more than once, where I have felt the word of God come powerfully to me. But for the most part, for the people of God, the Lord speaks to them through the minister, speaks through the preached word, like he did with Peter to Cornelius's house, like he did with Paul and Silas, like he did with Philip with the eunuch. And it may be at first, as with Samuel thought it was Eli that was calling him and went to Eli. But Eli told him no, he had not called him, and he bade him to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And may we also know that secret. The Lord speaks in what may appear to be the voice of one that we know very well, and Samuel would have known Eli very well. But the Lord spoke, and later on all Israel knew that Samuel was to be appointed a prophet of the Lord. He received the Lord's words and he spake them. And we're to know, it's a blessed soul that knows that secret and hears the Lord's voice through his word. It will change how we come into the house of God, won't it? Change our expectation, change our longing, change our prayers, our eyes in the right place. You may have come in like this captive, and yet to believe that there is surrounded with blessings, what it needs is the Lord to take them and to make them yours. Some of you may feel like the one at the pool of Bethesda, and you waited a long time there. What you need is the Lord to come and put you in. We know that one, that's what he thought. But the Lord came and the Lord blessed him, and he blessed him immediately, not in the way that he actually thought. But may we know what it is for the Lord to apply his word, to see indeed these blessings, to long for them, look at them, hearken as we've had three times here, and that our petition in our wanting to be set free is not a haste in our own efforts and own work, but a looking unto the Lord and a seeking of him that he will apply and bless that word and loose us and let us go. And in a moment it is so. The natural creation, he spake and it was done. And with the deliverances of his people, he speaks and it is done. And it is the Lord's work to provide that salvation and to bring it to his people and give it to them and apply it to them. And may then, if this verse comes where you are, prove not only surrounded with the certainties of the salvation and blessing of the Lord, but hear from the Lord's own mouth, "Thou art my people. The captive exile hasteneth, that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail." Well, may the Lord add his blessing, the application of it. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £575, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day. And our friends at Oakington hold their anniversary service on Wednesday evening, God willing. Let us close with hymn 1004. Lord, I am vile, conceived in sin, and born unholy and unclean, sprung from the man whose guilty fall corrupts the race and taints us all. Hymn 1004.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.